readings today are taken from the 23rd Psalm. The focus today is upon resting in peace, receiving comfort and hope through God's Word. Today we use that familiar passage from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As we explore this sermon theme for this season of Easter, I can only imagine, we discover several images of heaven. One of the most powerful metaphors we have of heaven is that image of peace. The Hebrew word shalom symbolizes that idea of peace, and not just as a cessation from war or conflict, but it conveys an overarching sense of peace that's hard really to put into words. But I believe as Christians it's best understood as Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 as that peace of God which passes all human understanding. The Bible is full of images of peace, but one of the premier places that we experience that peace of God is in this shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. And King David wrote it not during a time of peace, but during some very trying times, so that he could focus on the peace that comes from God. So as we dive in today, let's look first at some of those peaceful images from Psalm 23. Years ago, someone asked me, "Pastor, I am looking for a verse to put on my tombstone when the time comes." And this person had been wrestling with finding just the right verse. It couldn't be too long, obviously, or it wouldn't fit on the gravestone. And it had to be a powerful verse that spoke of God's love and God's grace. I threw out a couple of verses. He said, no, he said, that those don't work. And then the light bulb went off, and I said, "What about the 23rd Psalm?" So let me read it to you. "The Lord is my shepherd." And I paused for a moment, and he said, "Perfect." That's the perfect verse to go on that stone. Knowing that the Lord is our shepherd is and can be supremely comforting to many of us. It's why we use that psalm often at a time of difficulty in people's lives, and certainly on those occasions when we have a funeral. It reminds us of those images of heaven and of peace. It's in the Gospel of John that we hear more about this good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 8 shares this. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." What an image that is, that our Lord knows us intimately and cares so much that he's not going to let the devil get a hold of us whatsoever, but he will be there to guide us into eternity, to spend that perfect peace with God forever. Those images in the psalm of the green pastures and the still waters further enhance that glimpse of that picture of eternal peace as a place for us of comfort and of rest. That third verse of the psalm begins with a powerful phrase, "He restores my soul." We know what it's like to have troubled souls. Many of us have experienced that through different times in our lives. To have a soul that's hurting, searching for comfort, for strength, for hope. I'm reminded of a story of a little girl who came home from her neighbor's house where her little friend had died. "Why did you go?" questioned her father. "To comfort her mother," the little child said. "What could you do to comfort her?" She said, "I climbed up into her lap and I cried with her." She restored her soul. What an image that is. And that's what Jesus does for us. He brings us peace amid the storms that batter and beat us down. And it's those kinds of peaceful images that Psalm 23 begins with to bring us that word of hope. Thanks be to God for those images of peace. The psalm continues by giving us a reassurance of God's promises. Verses 4 and 5 of the psalm are probably some of the most striking that are out there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." For me, the reminder that the Good Shepherd, Jesus, experienced the fullness of suffering and death, it's a comfort because he knows, he has experienced what you and I experience throughout our lives. And it's a comfort because we know that our Lord took on our flesh. He experienced the life that we experience. And the good news of Easter is that not only does Jesus know what we go through, he fought that age-old battle with sin, death, and the devil. And he was victorious. Christ is risen, we proclaim. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we have a right to proclaim that because of that victory. Because of that hope that he gives us. Yes, we still live in a sinful, broken world. And yes, things still happen. That won't change until Christ comes again and ushers in his kingdom of God in its fullness. But what has changed is that he promises to be with us, to comfort us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and even to hold us in the palm of his almighty hand as we go through those struggles of life. I will never forget, as long as I live, an experience of God's hand of peace coming over a family in my last congregation. A young family had a son that was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And if you know anything about that disease, it's a terrible, terrible disease that leaves a person gasping simply to breathe. Most diagnosed with that particular disease don't have a very long lifespan. Well, I had been with them through the many hospitalizations and trials that they faced, praying for them and trying to offer what comfort I could with God's word. Well, the young boy lost his battle at the age of 12. It was heart-wrenching. It's hard to lose a child, especially after so much struggle and trial. At the graveside, the parents asked if we could sing Amazing Grace. And I remember it like it was yesterday. The sky was clear, sunny day, except for one little puffy cloud in the sky. When we finished singing Amazing Grace, there was a clap of thunder at just the right moment from that cloud that could not have produced even one raindrop. Everyone there was in awe, knowing that God was right there with that family, and all of us gathered there to give us that reassurance that that little boy was now at peace with God, God comforting him and holding him in his almighty arms. Reassurance of that peace of God which passes all understanding. The psalm ends with hope for the journey. Even amid those shadows of life and death, we continue to journey on. But the promise we have from God is that we do not again make this journey alone. Verse 6 begins, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In those words, we hear that promise of God's presence, that He will be with us all the days of our life. Think of those two words, goodness and mercy, as twin guardian angels that are by our side each and every day. God's goodness is discovered when we pause and take time to listen and experience God's presence. And I think about creation itself. It just cries out and points to God. The sun that comes down to warm us when we're cold. The rain that nourishes all living things. The birds singing the joy and the praises of God. The trees all pointing upward toward heaven. And the flowers that God fills with that fragrant scent to remind us of His love for us. And God's mercy follows that goodness to correct and forgive us when we stray and turn away from God, and to rejoice when we obediently serve God with those gifts and those talents that God has given to us. The last phrase of Psalm 23 is filled with both peace and a promise. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In John 14, Jesus reiterates this promise when He says that He has gone to prepare a place for us, and that He will come again and take us to Himself, that where He is, we might be also. We know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that we cannot come to God except through Him, through the promise and the hope that He's given us through His death and resurrection. A promise that gives us hope, something to hang on to throughout our journey in this life, no matter what we may face. Thinking about these images of peace today, there was a man at one time sought to have in his house a perfect picture of peace. He'd searched far and wide for a long time, looking in all kinds of art galleries and museums and different places, never found one that quite conveyed to him that sense of peace that he was looking for. And so he issued a challenge to all these young, budding artists to come up with a painting, a picture that would portray the perfect idea of peace. Well, people came from far and wide to be a part of that. And finally, the great day came to reveal the paintings. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered along the way. The tension grew. We were down to the last two paintings. The judge pulled the cover from one of those, and a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under a soft blush of a beautiful evening sunset. And along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. It painted that picture that we have just talked about of Psalm 23. But there was one more painting yet, and the man with the vision went to uncover it himself. And the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? It was a picture of a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning and wind and rain. And amid the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly little tree clung to a rocky cr- crag on the edge of that waterfall. One of its branches reached out to almost touch that water that would tear it from limb to limb from that tree and send it cascading down into nothingness. Well, in the crook, the elbow of that branch, a little bird had built its nest. And there sat the mother bird, eyes closed, content in those stormy surroundings, resting on her eggs, ready to cover her little ones. She manifested that peace which transcends all earthly turmoil. You see, God's peace isn't always a cessation from all danger and harm, as we like to think sometimes. But more often than not, the peace that God gives us is the peace that calms our hearts in the midst of the storms that rage around us. In John 14:27, Jesus shares these parting words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. May the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.